Please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And when you get there, we'll begin reading at verse 28. I'll read from verse 28 through to verse 30. 28 to 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come into your presence, coming out of this season where we thought about and considered how that you came in the fullness of time, when time was ripe, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, who came in the fullness of time, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And Lord, we praise you that the Lord Jesus went to the cross and he died, and then he rose again from the grave to a new life, a new beginning, free from the guilt of his people, breaking the bands of sin and death, vanquishing Satan, and leaving him stripped naked and bare before the spirit world. We bless you for what he's done. And now, Lord, we come to you at this time where we look into a new year coming in 2021. We see the snow. We think of winter. We think of the cross. We thank you, Lord, that resurrection comes and that spring comes and melts the snow. And we pray that this new year would be a resurrection in our souls. You would bring us to new heights, to new life, to new days of sun-filled, beaming face of God into our lives. We pray that we begin with worship today. Lord, that as we come to your word, that we would see you in your beauty, in your glory, in your majesty, and that we would adore you, and that this would color every day that we go into 2021. Lord, bless your people through your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust that everyone had a Merry Christmas. It was beautiful seeing the snow come down. When Jackie and I lived in Florida, you did not see any snow come down, except there was this one town where you could go and have fake snow during Christmas, and they would spit like soap suds out of the lights and make you feel like it was a white Christmas. But what a beautiful white Christmas that the Lord has given us by his grace. It was like just a token of his mercy, you know, kind of coming out of 2020 to just have a white Christmas. But now we look into 2021, don't we? We look only, six days from now will be the first, and we'll be entering a brand new year. And for some of us, maybe that's exciting, and maybe others, there's some uncertainties and there are some fears. But nonetheless, we turn the page of the chapter of 2020 and we begin the new chapter of 2021. And if there was a book of our lives that, like, we took a journal that was written, this coming new year would be a clean, fresh, crisp, white page. 365 of them laid out before us. And if I had access to that book, and if I could, I would write three words on the top of every single one of those 365 pages of this new year. And those three words would be the ones that we find in Matthew 11:28. Come to me. Come to me. Because no matter what the day might bring you in 2021, that is always what you must do. That is always the answer. Dane Ortlund, in his best-selling book, Gentle and Lowly, wrote, and I quote, "The Christian life boils down to two steps. One, go to Jesus. And two, see number one." End quote. The Christian life is come to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go every moment. Go every day. Go today. Go tomorrow. Go a year from now to Jesus. We have a very common misconception about what makes a good year. And we're probably thinking something about what made 2020 what it was and what ways we could try to make 2021 better, ways that we could live better in 2021. Well, what makes a good year? Is it a year where we're healthy? Is it a year where we're wealthy? Is it a year when we're free from trial and difficulty? No, what makes a good year is a year that we've gone to Jesus a lot. That's a good year. And if we are going to make 2021 a great year, we must hear the words of Jesus, "Come to me, all who are weary or labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Begin by thinking about the invited. Who is invited to come to Jesus? Well, once I was at a Christmas party and there were pieces of paper that you'd write your name on, and then they would be put into something, a container, and the person would, you know, stick your hand in, and they would pick out the name and then call somebody up to the front to receive a gift. And you'd be waiting for your number or your name to be called, and then they would say, "Come up and receive your gift." Now, whose name's being called this morning? Whose ticket is being called? Who can come and receive? Who can come to Jesus? Well, the text says, all who are weary or labor and are heavy laden. All who are. So everybody who falls under the category, everyone and anyone this morning who has come here weary and heavy laden from sin and from the effects of sin in this world, you are welcome to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Well, what does Jesus mean by this? Well, this word translated weary is a word which refers to the feeling of total exhaustion after straining your body in some great effort. My dad used to have the local quarry dump tons of rock in a huge pile by our house. We lived out in the country, and then he would give me a shovel and he'd give me a wheelbarrow, and he'd say, "Now it's your job to make this pile disappear and to dump all of this gravel to the different places he showed me." And at the end of the day, I would be so exhausted from working hard, especially if it was in the summer, and my muscles would be burning, the sweat would be pouring off of my forehead, and I could barely lift one more shovelful. I was weary. I was exhausted. Maybe you feel like you can't lift one more shovelful of life today. You're depleted. You're exhausted. You're at the end. Your wit's end. That is the person Jesus is referring to. This is the weary person. But this weariness isn't physical. This is figurative, to speak of spiritual exhaustion. Are you weary? Weary of the world? You've been trying to find satisfaction. And this applies to both people who are believers and those who are Christians. You've been trying to find satisfaction in this world. Your hopes have been set on some social system to bring peace that hasn't brought it. You've been looking for some kind of satisfaction in your job, but it's fallen through. You've looked for satisfaction in being somebody who is a father or a mother, but you found yourself to have failed. You've looked for satisfaction in money and in power, in sex, and you've not found it. You've come up thirsty every time. It's not satisfied you. You're weary, tired, you're exhausted. You're weary of your sin. You're tired, exhausted. You're weary of continuously trying to fight your sin and failing. You're weary of sinning and covering it up all the time. You're weary of deceiving yourself and others about who you really are. You're weary. You're weary, maybe, of yourself. You're weary of your own personal failures, your own personal weakness, seeking after your own purpose and fulfillment, trying, as everybody tells you, to find it in you, but you've not found anything in you worth finding. You're weary. And then Jesus says, heavy laden. To be heavy laden is to be weighed down. It's used in Acts 27:10 to speak of a ship that's weighed down with cargo. It's heavy. Are you heavy? Have you come in this morning, or are you watching online, carrying a burden, carrying a heavy weight? It would be a weird sight, wouldn't it, to see somebody come in through the doors this morning with huge bags full of stuff that they're carrying over their back, and they're hunched over and they're barely making it to their seat, but they act like everything's normal. And everybody else acts like everything's normal. We see the heavy burdens of the heart can't be seen, can they? But they're still very real, and they're still very heavy. And some of you perhaps have come in this morning with heavy, heavy hearts. You're carrying great weight as you've come. You are heavy laden. Well, in the context, Jesus speaks really here of the law that weighs hearts down. He says in Luke 11:46, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear. You yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." If anybody is thinking that they have to follow the law to perfection to make God pleased with them, to work out their own salvation by being good enough, your heart, no doubt, is very heavy. Your sins and your guilt can be heavy. You feel the heaviness of what you've been this past week even, or the past days, and the guilt of your sin, regrets about your past, things that you've done, things that you've failed to do. Fear about the future, what will happen in our nation, where will we go as far as our leadership and politically, what will happen with coronavirus, what will happen financially. What is going to happen in 2021? Maybe there's a fear of death. You're afraid that what would happen if you caught coronavirus and you actually didn't make it? What would happen if you died? Are you ready to die? Are you prepared? What kind of life are you living? Are you living the kind of life that you are ready for the hospital room? Worry, anxiety. Disappointment. Disappointment with yourself. You're disappointed with you. You're not the mom you want to be. You're not the dad you want to be. You're not the son you want to be. And you've seen it maybe even over the holidays. You've seen who you really are. You're not as strong as you think you are. You're not as good as you think you are. You're disappointed. You're disappointed with the decisions people have made. People have hurt you this year. You've been treated unjustly. You've been slandered. You've been oppressed. Maybe you've been abused. And here you are, heavy. Maybe it's something like you can't pay the bills, or there's family conflicts. We see these things, don't we, over the holidays? You know what I mean. Christmas is wonderful, but then it can also be very hard. Because you have to sit down across the table from family members that have years years and years and years of bitterness or wounds or unresolved conflicts. Maybe it's lonely. Loneliness, sickness. Some of us have lost loved ones. Heavy. There was, in one news media outlet, an article with photos of the year. You see, and these photos showed a very weary and a very heavy-laden world. Not only are you weary and heavy-laden, but our nation is weary and heavy-laden, and our world is weary and heavy-laden. Some of the photos that were shown were a photo of the Taal volcano erupting in the Philippines, and thousands were forced to seek refuge. A woman hugging her husband and weeping during his final moments in St. Jude Medical Center in Fullerton, California. Photos of empty parks, empty grocery store shelves, and businesses as the pandemic swept our globe. A drive-through funeral on a rainy day for somebody's treasure, somebody's loved one who passed away. Women praying in a church in a refugee camp in Sudan, where more than 47,000 people have crossed from Ethiopia. People hiding for safety in an old basement because of the fighting between Armenia and Azerbaijan. A coffin covered with cardboard left outside of the doorstep of an apartment in Ecuador. Bodies were literally being left in the streets because the hospitals were turning people away. Minneapolis in flames, the streets full of litter, protests after the death of George Floyd, thousands marching in American cities over racial injustice, and I could go on. Our world, our nation is weary and heavy laden. And most likely so are you. So what do we do? We see the invitation. The Lord Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Who is it that is making this invitation? It is the Lord Jesus. Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. He is the hope of the world, the light of the world. In verse 27, we read this, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What is all of that saying? The Son is equal to the Father. The Son has full knowledge of the Father. The Father, full knowledge of the Son. The Son is very God. And yet the Son here, what we see at Christmas time, is he has united himself with a human body and a human soul. He has become a man. And why has he done this? For the purpose of being fit and designed for you to come to. So that he can say, come to me. He has been made a Savior. And look at verse 27. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. Do you know what that means? That means that everything that you and I need is in Jesus Christ. The fullness of salvation, the fullness of comfort, the fullness of love, the fullness of mercy, the fullness of grace, the fullness of power, the fullness of God himself has been deposited in Jesus, has been put into his hands. He is totally sufficient. He's sufficient for you. He's sufficient for the world. And it is as Jesus looks at the all things that have been handed over to him, as he surveys the fullness that is in him, that then he says, come to me. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph interprets this dream that Pharaoh has, and he sees this. There's going to be years of famine. And remember what Joseph does? After he's unjustly treated, and he then goes to prison, and then he's exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, he gathers up all the grain in Egypt, and he puts it in storehouses to prepare for the famine. And Genesis 41:55 says, when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. You see, what God says, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. And in verse 57 of Genesis 41, he says, Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain because the famine was severe over all the earth. Friends, the famine is severe in your hearts. Where do you go to buy grain? Where do you go to get satisfaction, comfort, grace, mercy? Where do you go to have your needs met? Go to Joseph. Go to Jesus. He has filled his barns. The Father has placed in his hands everything that you and I need. Thomas Boston called Christ the great Lord Treasurer of Heaven. Meaning, like on his keychain, he has dangling the keys to the storehouses that all of heaven has. And the one who's making this invitation makes it in joy. Luke 10:21, the parallel passage says this, in that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. As Jesus looked at all of the fullness that he had, given him by the Father, his heart was overwhelmed with joy. Joy for what purpose? To share with you, to give to you, to pour out to you. And he rejoiced in his spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is like a balloon so full of grace and power and salvation that it's ready to pop at the slightest pinprick. Jesus, he's like a fridge that's been shoved full of so many good things. You have to hold the doors closed. It's ready to burst open with sustenance. Jesus here is ready to burst with all the fullness that he is. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. I'm ready to give. And he says, come to me, to a person. That's so key. Not a doctrine. Friends, not church even. To him. Have you ever come to him? This is Christian and non-Christian alike. If you're not a Christian, you've never come to him. But Christian, we've come to him, but sometimes we come to him so few and far between, don't we? They're so quick to come to so many other things before we come to Jesus. Come. What a word. Come. The holy, holy, holy Christ. This is the holy Jesus. And he says, come. Wouldn't you expect him to say, stay away from me? When my little girl is dirty from playing outside, she's full of mud, I say, clean up before you come inside. And Jesus doesn't say, clean up before you come inside. Jesus says, come. Come filthy, come dirty. It just says come. Just says come. Does it say come to a certain race? No. Does it say come to a certain size? No. Does it say come to a certain profession? No. Does it say come to a certain degree of goodness or holiness? No. It just says come. If you're weary and if you're heavy laden, come. Come. But something in your heart maybe leads you to doubt. There's just no way it could be so free that I could just come. Like, don't I have to do something, clean myself up a little bit before I come? Well, he knows that this doubt will rise up in us. So he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. This is the one place in the New Testament where Jesus opens up his heart. And what would you find there? Glorious and majestic, high and lofty, pure and sinless. But what does Jesus say? Gentle and lowly. Jesus is gentle. He is not rash. He is not harsh. He does not blow up with anger. He doesn't stand with arms crossed, but arms open. He wants to hear your story. He wants you to weep on his shoulder. He wants to hold you in his arms and embrace you as you break into 1,000 pieces, pouring out your guts about your pain and your brokenness. And he doesn't break in the conversation. He doesn't shush you and tell you that you're wrong. He wants to hear your brokenness. Jesus is lowly. He is eminently approachable. He lives on our street, on our side of town. And for the Christian, you have the keys to his house, his garage, his fridge in your pocket. He is accessible. You can come to him. As Dane Ortlund put it, quote, "He is the most understanding person in the universe. The posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms. This is who he is: tender, welcoming, accommodating, understanding, willing," end quote. Is that who Jesus is to you? Gentle and lowly? You wouldn't come to a harsh person, would you? You wouldn't come to an austere man who would turn you away, who would lock his door. But would you come to one who's gentle? Would you come to one who's lowly? And has he not demonstrated this gentleness and lowliness? Is there anything that more demonstrates this than the baby lying in a manger? That is the height of his display of his gentleness and lowliness. Has he not displayed it on the cross, where he hangs there limp, giving his body over to be broken, to be bruised and torn? Has he not displayed this by how he says that he will not break a bruised reed, he will not quench the smoking flax? And even here, the Lord Jesus openly invites people to come to him. Not only that, he laments it when anybody will not come. He says in John 5:40, "Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." He is so willing. I don't even know how to open up the little word "so." There is no way that I can begin with the English language to explain to you the so-ness of the word "so." He is so willing, so willing to have you. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, he is willing to take you up in his arms and to embrace you. So come. Well, what is it to come? Well, to come implies motion, doesn't it? You're not standing still. You're not leaving. You're coming. To come is the soul's moving towards Jesus. Well, obviously our bodies can't go. So what is it for our souls to go to Jesus? Well, in the first place, we must become desperate for Jesus. We will not come to Christ unless we become desperate, unless we become convinced that anything else we're holding on to will not give us ultimate rest. During Christmas, you probably saw your grandchildren or your children, and you said, "Come, come to me and give me a big hug. Come on and give me a big hug." But they hold tight to the person they're hugging, right? You're saying, "Come on, give me a big hug." We have to let go of all the idols that we hold dear to our hearts before we can embrace Jesus. Come to me. You must become desperate. You must recognize that there's nothing else. Stop going to your own strength. Stop going to other people. Stop looking everywhere else but Jesus for satisfaction, for acceptance, for identity, for righteousness, for rest, for peace. Become desperate for him. And then we must expect that Christ will receive us according to his promise. When he says, "Come to me," and he says, "All that comes to me, I will never cast out." Do you expect that if you come, if your soul begins to move, that he will cast you out? Expect that he will take you up and he will never cast you out, ever. Expect that he will embrace you. Expect that he will hold you and he will never, ever let you go. And then we must be willing to take up his yoke and be taught of him. Further on in the text, we read, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart." You see, he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, the Bible says that the way of the sinner is hard. You may think that by living outside of Jesus, you know, doing your own thing, going your own way, that life's going to be easy. You're so wrong. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You were made to be holy. You were made in the image of God. You are not a creature, an animal. You are made after the image of the thrice holy God of heaven.
And you cannot be fully satisfied. You cannot be who you are until you are holy. Meaning like you look like God by taking up his yoke. You're not meant to live like an animal, like a pig who feeds in the trough. Take up his yoke. Be willing to come and take up a yoke that Jesus shares, by the way. You don't have to take that yoke up yourself. He gives you the strength. He puts his arm around you and walks with you. He's a friend of sinners. He says this in verse 19 of this chapter. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, look at him, a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. He's a friend of sinners. He takes up this yoke. He bears with sinners. And then we must be able to, we must cast our whole soul on Jesus as sufficient to meet our every need. Cast your whole being on Christ. If you've ever gone hiking, you probably bring a pack that's really heavy. If you're really into hiking, you probably have like 5 packs and they're super heavy. Like tents in them and refrigerators and whatever. There are some people that hike with donkeys. And what they do is they'll lay all of their burdens on the donkey, and that donkey will go with them on their journey. You see, nobody thinks twice about laying burdens on a donkey because a donkey is a burden bearer. A donkey, that's what a donkey does. A donkey bears burdens. A donkey's back is, it's like it's made out of brass. Its legs are like pillars. That's what it does. That's what it's made for. Do you know that Jesus is a burden bearer? You know that that's what he's made for? Do you know that that's what he's designed for? Jesus is your burden-bearing traveling companion. Lay your burdens on Jesus. Lay your worries, lay your anxieties, lay your sins, lay your guilt, lay your brokenness on Jesus. Cast your whole soul on Christ. If you're not a Christian, you know what it's like to run into your mom and dad's arms. Children, if there's anyone here who doesn't know Christ, you know what it's like to just, when your knees scraped, to jump into your mom's arms, your dad's arms, and bury your head in their chest and cry. It's as easy as that. That's what it means to come. It may be difficult to explain, but your heart knows. Come. Jump into his arms. Come to Jesus. And Christian, come to Jesus daily. Not just once, but every day. Come to Jesus. And Christ promises that the one who comes will receive rest from the hand of God. The promise. He says this, I will give you rest. It's almost too good to be true, isn't it? I will give you rest. For the weary, he says, I will give you rest. For those weary of the world, I will give you satisfaction. You will find in Jesus, as Asaph said, there's nothing in heaven or earth that you will desire more than him. You will taste and see that Christ is good. Some of you, maybe you've never tasted of Jesus. You've never tasted of Jesus. Like, you don't understand why someone would give their life to Christ. You don't understand why someone would want to worship Christ. You don't understand why someone would find any joy in reading this book or coming to church. It's not to be religious. It's not to be good. It's because Jesus is there. It's because Christ is the delight of our hearts. It's real. He can make your heart new so that you delight in him, so that you glory in him, so that you want him. He can make you new. Come to him. You're weary. You don't find satisfaction anywhere. He can change your heart to where you want Jesus. There's this missionary I knew, and he said that when his dad got saved, he said, God changed my wanter. He made me want God. If He opens your eyes, you'll want Jesus more than anything else. For those weary of sin, you'll find in Christ power to overcome your sin, power to transform you, power to overwhelm your guilt with His bloody sacrifice, to pay for your sins. For those weary of yourself, you'll find outside of yourself, in someone else, true identity, true acceptance and joy. For the heavy laden, with the cares of this world, He will take your burdens. He will give you rest. Jesus, really, when He says, come to Me, He is making somewhat of an offer of sale. He is saying, you give Me all your mess. You give Me all your burdens. You give Me all your sins. You give Me all your brokenness. You give Me all your worries. You give Me all your anxieties, and I'll give you rest. That's the sale this morning. Selling rest. Selling rest for brokenness. Selling righteousness for sin. Selling comfort for anxiety. Selling peace for uncertainty. Selling power for weakness. Selling joy for sorrow. That's the offer made. What do you have to bring to Him? Do you have sorrow? Come. Do you have brokenness? Come. Do you have anxiety? Come. Do you have worry? Come. Do you have sin and guilt? Come. That's what He's saying. Come and bring all of your mess and weariness and fears and hurts and humanity to Jesus, and He will give you rest. This is what He says to you. This is what He says to me. And this is what He says to the world. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. We look at our nation, don't we? We look at the world. What do we say? Go to Jesus. Run. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. And this is what we have to tell them. Go to Jesus. That's what our country needs. That's what the church needs. I think of Isaiah 31. Woe to them that go down to Egypt, who trust in chariots because they are many, and the strength of horsemen because they are very strong, but does not trust in the Holy One of Israel and does not consult their God. Church of Christ, application for us is so clear. Come to Christ. When we see upheaval, when we see brokenness, when we see weariness, where do we go? Do we go to a political figure? Do we go to a social system? Do we go to Google? Do we go to social media? Do we go to one another? Where do we go? Go to Jesus. He says, come to Me. Come to Me. So, Church of Christ and evangelicalism, let us come to Christ. I'm speaking of prayer. Let us come to Christ in prayer. Let us lay our burdens, let us lay our anxieties at the feet of Jesus, and let us cry out to God to pour out His power and His Spirit on our weary, heavy-laden nation, on our weary, heavy-laden world. Have we done that? Have we done that? I look at myself. How seldom have I done that? You see, the Lord knows what He's doing by bringing trials into the life of the church. They're not by accident. Think of Hosea 2, verses 6 and 7, when the Lord says to disobedient Israel, He says, I will make up your way with hedges and thorns so that you will not be able to go after your idols any longer, but you will be forced to come back to Me. Now, I'm not saying every Christian's disobedient, and I'm not saying trials have been laid on us because we're all disobedient, but I am saying this, that one of God's great purposes in bringing trials, as we look back at 2020, is to push us to Jesus. You know the famous quote from Spurgeon, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me into the rock of ages." I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me into the rock of ages. Have the waves of 2020 thrown you into the rock of ages? Have the waves of your anxieties and fears and sins and brokenness thrown you into the rock of ages? Then you can learn to kiss them all and bless God for them all. No matter what this next year brings, tell it all to Jesus. Weep on Jesus. Fall apart on Jesus. Be broken on Jesus. Go to Jesus for wisdom. Go to Jesus for strength. Go to Jesus for pardon. Go to Jesus for joy. Go to Jesus for heaven. Go to Jesus for holiness. Go to Jesus for stability. Just go to Jesus. And if we go to Jesus, it will be a good year. Let us pray.